Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading, My Dad Spent 15 Years Tending to the Tree in Our Backyard. I just cut it down, and I don't think it was a tree. This was written by Gamal Frank from Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story, and let's get started. I don't know where else to turn. I can't talk to my mom about this. She's already a wreck. I can't talk to my dad because he's the reason I'm writing this. I did something and I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was saving him. But now the house is filled with a silence that is so much worse than the screaming I wish I could hear. And I see the look in my father's eyes, and I know I've made a terrible mistake. I need help. I need someone to tell me what I need to do. We live in a nice house, the kind of place people move to when they want a family. A big yard, a picket fence, flower beds my mom fusses over. It was a normal, happy place to grow up, until the tree. It all started about 15 years ago. I was 10. My dad came home from work one day, absolutely buzzing with an energy I'd rarely seen. He was a quiet man, a decent man. Worked a steady job in logistics, and his passions were small and manageable. He loved gardening. It was his escape. On this day, he was holding a small, wrinkled paper bag. "Look at this," he said, his eyes shining as he showed me a single, gnarled black seed. It was the size of a pigeon's egg, strangely heavy and covered in faint spiral patterns. "Got it from a street vendor downtown. An old fella. Said it was special. Said it would grow into a great tree, a king in our yard. Said it would cast its shadow over the whole house and protect us." I was 10. I thought it was cool. My dad was a sane, rational man, but he always got a bit poetic when he talked about his garden. I just figured he was exaggerating to make his only kid excited. We planted it together in the center of the backyard. It was a good memory. One of the last purely good ones, I think. The tree grew, and it grew fast, faster than any tree has a right to grow. Within a couple of years, it was already taller than me. My dad was ecstatic. He tended to it like it was some kind of deity. He built a small, neat wooden fence around its base, not to keep animals out, but it seemed to designate its space as sacred. No one else was allowed to water it. No one else was allowed to prune it. Not that it ever seemed to need it. It was his. For years, my mom and I just accepted it. It was Dad's hobby, his thing. When he was out in the yard, kneeling by the tree, we knew that was his time. We didn't interfere. We didn't think much of it. But the tree kept growing, and as it grew, my dad started to change, subtly at first. He'd spend more and more time out there. He'd come in for dinner with dirt under his fingernails and a distant, peaceful look on his face. He started talking about the tree not as a plant, but as a presence. "The tree is well today," he said. "It enjoyed the rain." We just smile and nod. By the time I was in my early 20s, the tree was a monster. It was a species none of us recognized. Its bark was a smooth, dark gray, almost black, and its leaves were a deep, waxy green that seemed to drink the sunlight. It towered over our two-story house, casting a vast, profound shadow over the entire backyard for most of the day. And that's when we really started to notice the wrongness. The first sign was the other plants. My mom's prize-winning roses, the vegetable patch, the cheerful little flowers she planted every spring, and anything that fell under the tree's shadow for more than a few hours a day would wither and die. The soil beneath it became barren, gray, and hard as rock. Then the animals. Birds stopped nesting in our yard. The squirrels that used to chase each other across the lawn vanished. Even our family dog, a golden retriever, would refuse to go into the backyard. He'd stand at the back door whining, his tail tucked between his legs, refusing to set a single paw in the shadow. But the worst change was in my father. His obsession became his entire existence. He quit his job. He said he needed to be home to attend to the tree. He'd spend all day from sunrise to sunset sitting on a small bench he'd built directly under its densest branches. He just sat there. Sometimes we'd see him from the kitchen window, his head tilted as if he were listening to something. Sometimes his lips would move, and we knew, with a certainty that made us sick, that he was talking to it. My mom and I tried to reach him. We pleaded. We begged. "Honey, please," my mom would say, her voice breaking. "Come inside. Eat something. You look so thin." He'd just shake his head, a slow, placid smile on his face. "I am not hungry. The shadow is enough. It's so peaceful here. It comforts me. It can comfort you, too, if you just come and sit with me." We never did. There was something about that shadow. It wasn't just a lack of light. I felt cold. I felt heavy. I felt hungry. Standing at the edge of it felt like standing at the shore of a deep, dark ocean. You knew you shouldn't step in. The last weeks were the breaking point. He stopped coming inside at all, except to sleep in his chair in the living room for a few fitful hours. He was wasting away. His skin was pale and waxy. His eyes were sunken, but they held a serene, vacant glow that terrified me more than any anger could have. He was being consumed. The tree was eating him alive, and he was letting it. I decided I had to do something. I had to save him. The tree had to go. I waited until night. I watched through the window until he finally, reluctantly came inside and slumped into his armchair, falling into his usual restless sleep. The house was silent. My mom was asleep upstairs. This was my chance. I grabbed the heavy wood splitting axe from the garage. My hands were sweating, my heart pounding a frantic, terrified rhythm against my ribs. I stepped out the back door. The yard was bathed in the pale, ethereal light of a full moon, but the ground beneath the tree was a pit of absolute blackness. I stepped into the shadow. The cold was immediate, shocking. It wasn't a natural cold. It was a deep, draining cold that seemed to pull the warmth directly from my bones. I walked to the base of the tree. Its smooth, black bark felt strangely slick to the touch, almost like skin. I raised the axe. As the metal head touched the bark, I heard it. A whisper, right beside my ear. A voice that was both male and female, old and young. It was a rustle of leaves and a sigh of wind and a voice all at once. "Don't." I stumbled back, my heart seizing in my chest. I looked around wildly. The yard was empty. I had to have imagined it. It was the wind. It was my own fear talking back to me. It had to be. I steeled myself, spat on my hands, and swung the axe with all my might. Thwack. The sound was dull, wet, not the sharp crack of axe on what I was expecting. It felt like hitting a side of beef. The axe bit deep into the trunk. I wrenched it free, and a dark liquid, black in the moonlight, began to ooze from the gash. I ignored it. I swung again, and again, and again. I fell into a frantic, desperate rhythm, sweat pouring down my face, my muscles screaming. The wet, fleshy thud of the axe, the splatter of the dark sap, the deep, draining cold of the shadow, it was a nightmare. With every swing, the ooze from the gash flowed more freely. The coppery metallic smell of it filled the air. It was a smell I knew, a smell that had no business being here. It was the smell of blood. I touched the sticky liquid with my fingers, brought them to my nose. It was blood. Thick, dark, real blood. Panic, stark and absolute, seized me. I wanted to run. I wanted to drop the axe and flee and never look back. But then I thought of my father, of his vacant, smiling face, of him wasting away on his bench. I couldn't stop. I had to finish it. I screamed a raw, wordless sound of rage and fear, and I put everything I had into the last few swings. The gash widened. The tree groaned, a deep, shuddering sound that seemed to shake the very ground. And then with a final, tearing shriek of splintering matter, it fell. It crashed into the yard with the ground shaking boom. its great branches shattering my mom's empty flower pots. Silence. The shadow was gone. I was panting, leaning on the axe, my body trembling with exhaustion and adrenaline. My eyes were drawn to the stump, to the place where I had cut it. I pulled the small flashlight from my back pocket and aimed the beam at the wound. The inside of the tree wasn't wood. It was a chaotic, fibrous mass of what looked like dark red muscle and pale, glistening sinew, all woven around a central, horrifying core. Where I had cut the tree in half, I had also cut it in half. Embedded in the center of the trunk, integrated into its very being, was the torso of a human being. You could see the curve of the rib cage, the shape of the spine, the pale, rubbery look of preserved flesh. I had cut it clean through. The dark blood was still pouring from it, soaking into the ground. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. My mind simply stopped. What was this? Who was this? Was this what my father had been talking to? Burn it. The voice from behind me. It was quiet, raspy, and broken. I spun around, my flashlight beam cutting wildly through the darkness. My father was standing at the edge of the patio. He wasn't looking at me. He was staring at the fallen tree, at the mangled, bleeding stump. And the expression on his face, it was the most profound, gut-wrenching sadness I had ever witnessed. The vacant serenity was gone, replaced by a grief so deep it looked like it had cracked his very soul. "Dad?" I whispered. "We have to burn it," he repeated, his voice hollow. "All of it. Now." We worked together in a grim, silent ritual. We hacked the branches and the great trunk into manageable pieces. We dragged them into a pile in the center of the yard. My father moved like an old man, his newfound clarity costing him all his strength. He never once looked at the horrifying thing at the heart of the trunk. We doused the pile in gasoline and my father threw the match. The fire went up with a roar, a greasy black smoke that smelled of burning meat and something else, something acrid and deeply wrong. We stood there for hours, watching it burn, until the great tree that had dominated our lives was nothing but a pile of glowing embers in a scorched black circle on the lawn. I thought I had saved him. I thought I had cut out the cancer that was killing him. But I was wrong. It's been a week. The tree is gone. The shadow is gone. My father, he's inside. He eats what my mom puts in front of him. He sleeps in his own bed. He's physically present, but he's not here. The obsession is gone, but the peace, twisted as it was, is gone too. It's been replaced by a constant humming anxiety. He paces the house, stares out the window at the empty space in the yard. He jumps at every unexpected sound. He doesn't speak. Not a single word since that night. He just looks at me sometimes with those haunted, broken eyes. And I feel like I'm the monster. I destroyed the thing that was consuming him, and in doing so, I seem to have destroyed him too. I traded a smiling zombie for a silent, terrified ghost. What was that thing? What did I do, and how? How do I fix my dad? Is there any way to bring him back from whatever edge I've pushed him over? Please, if you have any idea what happened here, please tell me. The silence in this house is getting louder every day. That's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know in the comments below. If you can leave comments where you're listening from, that would be Spotify or YouTube. That's what I pay attention to. If you'd like to support the channel, you can do so by becoming a patron if you want. Get some early access to videos and stuff. Just generally supports the channel. But outside of that, I just love it if you guys, like the video. Share it around, leave a comment, interact with it. Because then the algorithm goes, I'm going to show this to more people because people are engaging. And you know what? That's pretty cool. So I appreciate you for listening. I hope you enjoyed yourself here. If you know anyone in the games industry or maybe a Hollywood director, I am open for voice acting. So just, you know, let them know. Anyways, take care now. Bye-bye then.